We're going to talk about what really is the core of prophetic ministry. And we've talked a lot about definitions so far, and we defined a lot of things. And we'll talk about some more definitions tonight. But the core of what prophetic ministry is a concept that is very easy for us to overlook, something that some people are really good at, but that most of us can always be strengthened in. Right, and so what we're going to be talking about is the idea of listening. The key component to prophetic ministry is listening. Right, the core idea of being somebody who speaks the word of the Lord is that you're speaking God's words, which means you have to be listening to Him. So therefore, your connection to God is the most important thing. Howard Hendricks, he's a great Bible teacher, taught at Dallas Seminary for many years. I heard him teaching once, and he said this. He said that your students should drink from a running stream, not a stagnant pool. There's another biblical principle in place where, if you remember the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they're out in the wilderness, and they get hungry, and God provides something for them. He provides manna, right? I think we talked about this together. And He gives them manna. And the manna is good for how long? One day. That's right. And after that one day, then it goes bad. And so every morning you have to get up and you've got to gather your manna, your bread for that day. Fast forward then to Jesus. Jesus prays, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. Right? The idea of listening to God's words that day, the idea of being connected to the Lord is a continuous, constant thing that we see in Scripture. And if you think of all of the heroes of faith, what you're going to see is a constant, serious connection to God. And when you see people go off the beaten path, it's because they lose that connection. When the connection to the Father is lost, when the listening doesn't happen, then there is a loss of what it is that God would be able to do in the situation. So, for example, Samuel and King Saul in the Old Testament, Samuel says to King Saul, "When you go into Agag, take the king and kill him and kill everything in the city. Like, don't bring anything back." Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, everything that God has said, I'll do. That's what Saul said. Everything that God has said, I'll do. Great. So he goes and he brings the king back captive and he keeps a bunch of the herds and flocks for himself. And there's so many that they're making a big ruckus. And then, of all things, Saul is not a priest. In the Old Testament, only priests could offer sacrifices. Saul decides to offer God a sacrifice, thus not listening to the Lord's definition of who he was. And Saul catches him before he actually goes through with it. And Samuel says to Saul, "What's this I hear in the distance? Like, I'm hearing sheep, I'm hearing goats. What happened? Why did you disobey the word of the Lord?" And Saul said this, "I didn't disobey." Saul said, "I hear what God's saying. Everything that God has said, I will do." And then Samuel says, "Why did you disobey?" And Saul says, "I didn't disobey." Did Saul listen? No, he didn't listen. Listening carries with it the intention to obey. And this is parenting 101. You know, look at your kid. "Do you hear what I'm saying to you?" "Yes." "Then go do that." And then they don't do that. So something was not communicated. Something was not received. Something was not walked in. Something did not, there was not a translation from what was coming out here into the receivers here that then submitted to it. That is listening. Listening is hearing with the intent to follow. Right? That's the definition of listening. Listening is hearing with the intent to follow. The goal of listening is understanding. To understand is to stand under. Just switch the words. The goal of listening is to understand, to stand under. I cannot understand someone to whom I am defensive, or if they're defensive to me. How's it going, Sean? Good to see you. Like, I'm not coming around. I'm not listening. Like, there's an exchange, there's communication happening, but there's not listening if I'm not also submitting myself to what it is that they're saying in the moment. So I can hear my wife, but that doesn't mean I'm listening. because I'm just so busy prepping for what the next thing is, right? And so she's saying this, and I'm already assuming what the end of her statement is going to be, and I already know then how it's going to come back out, you know, so that this situation, and she'll do the same thing. And pretty soon what you have is neither one of us listening to each other. You have a bunch of words in a big space with a lot of tension with no one ever actually wanting to understand anything. This happens with God. This happens with God. We get very familiar with who and what we think God is, so that when God begins to speak, we just jump in. Like, oh, God, I know what you're going to say there. Let me respond to you, or let me live in the way that it is that you think that I should be. Or let me say what it is that you think it is that I should say. We miss the core of the intimate relationship with God, which is listening. There is no relationship that exists that is a healthy relationship that does not have good listening at its core. I met my wife in college, and it did not start like this. What's your name? Sherry. What's your name? Jay. Would you like to get married? Right? That's not how it worked. Did it work for anybody like that, else like that? No. Why? Because there was no relationship. There was nothing built. So how was the relationship built? It was built through sharing, and it was built through listening. Listening not just to her, but listening to God. Listening to what it is that he wants, listening to what it is that he has for us. Listening is the primary spiritual sense. The scriptures tell us to use all of our senses. The scriptures tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. The scriptures tell us that that the fragrance of God can fill a room, you know, so we can smell. The scriptures tell us that we can touch, you know, just like Jesus says to Thomas, you know, come and touch. Like, feel who I am, like, engage it with sensory perception. What most Christians want is to see. What most people want is to see. If I could just see God, then I would believe. Right? If I could just have sight, if I could see God at work. Most of us want sight. But the primary spiritual sense is listening. The primary spiritual sense is your ears. Think about the building block of the world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness moved over the face of the deep. The Spirit was brooding over the waters. And then God said. Then God said. And who listened? Creation. And creation listened. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw it was good. God said, let there be land. God said, let there be the sun, moon, and stars. Right? God spoke. And there was listening that happened as a result of that. God spoke to his children after he created them. In fact, Adam and Eve are the only thing that he created that he didn't speak into existence. He actually molded it. He actually formed Adam from the dust of the ground. He formed Eve from Adam's rib. So then in them, he breathed in them the breath of life, and then he spoke to them in a relational manner. Right? And he speaks to them and he says, you know, you can eat of anything in the garden. This whole garden is yours. But the one thing is that don't eat the tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of that, you will surely die. Now, had anything ever died before? Did they have any way of knowing what that word meant? None. Not at all. Like, it was completely, there was only life at this point in time. Not only that, but it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God told them that they did not need to eat. Like, you don't eat this tree. Don't eat this tree. So God's word has now come to Adam and Eve. They heard it and they listened to it. In Genesis 3, what happens? The serpent says to Eve, what's his first words? Did God really say? Like, can you trust what God said? Did God really speak? Are you sure you heard? Are you sure you listened? And then she begins to think, huh? Well, no, he didn't say that. He said that we would you will not surely die. Now he's contradicting God's words. You will not surely die. In fact, God's afraid that if you eat of it, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. And Eve sees the fruit, And she now stops listening to God and she starts listening to the serpent. And who it is that she chooses to listen to is the person that then she becomes. Her father is the father of life and of goodness, who wants nothing but goodness and life for her. When she listened to him, all she experienced was goodness and life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, nothing but death. And when she listened to him, all there was what he told her, right? That he deceived. No, you will not surely die, but then she's dead. Where she listened is who she became. Who it is that you and I listen to is who we become. Right? When it comes to like raising young people, preteen, teenagers, your kids' friends, that's an important group, right? I mean, who you hang out with in that space in life is oftentimes the person that it is that you become. So the way that we choose and guide our kids in those ways, that's important. Why? Because they're going to listen in that spot. Like, they're going to want to be heard in that spot. Listening is crucial. Listening is so, so, so important. It is the core, not just of prophetic ministry, but it's the core of what it means for us to know God and to walk with God. Because listening is a relational experience that connects us to the heart of the Father, and he communicates himself to us. Quick rabbit trail here. The Garden of Eden was only full of goodness, right? Only goodness, only life. That's all that there was in the Garden of Eden. And God told them that the knowledge of good and evil, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was off limits. But they still had a knowledge of goodness because they had a knowledge of God. What they did not have was a knowledge of evil. When she took of the tree the knowledge of good and evil, she then experienced the result of evil, which is death. Humans are not made with a capacity to process evil. We don't have it. When life throws you a storm that you can't handle, when somebody dies, when you have grief beyond belief, when you lose something, when you're goals are blocked, when something happens that you did not want and did not ask for, when there are just questions after questions, when evil finds its way into your life or the life of the people that you love, your ability to process that is always, always limited. We always want God to answer the question why when it comes to suffering. If that question is answered, it's still not something that we can understand because we're just not made with it. It's not there. We're made to know God. We're made to know the goodness that God gives us in himself. And so when we walk with him and when we engage him, when we listen to him, his voice can trump and turn the evil in our life back to good. That's what happens to Joseph. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned for good. So there's this incredible ability to be so connected to God that evil can't touch you, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. But the relationship that needs to exist there is one of listening. God has bread, God has manna for you today. But so many of us try and live off yesterday's manna, or Sunday school manna, or Awana manna, or whatever our church manna was growing up, you know, or brethren manna. and we want to live off what it was that we were. When God has life for us today, and that's the key to prophetic ministry. The key to prophetic ministry is to be so deeply connected to God that you can hear his voice, and that that you then know what it is that he wants to communicate and what it is that he is saying in the moment. He might be saying something to you. He might be saying something that you're ministering to. He might be saying something to the body of Christ. Walking in and knowing that and understanding that is a rhythm of relationship with God that keeps us so connected that we can hear his voice and speak it when it is that he wants us to speak it. Take one of those and pass it around, please. Take one of those and pass it around. Thanks. So we are going to do a nice extended group exercise in prophetic listening tonight. one for each person. No, that's cool. No worries. There should be plenty, I think. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 18 of us. Yeah, we're good. Did you get one, Chris? Okay, we're all set. Cool. All right, so remember this whole key, this listening. Listening is the key. Check out these first two verses from John chapter 5. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Next verse. "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Listening marked the life of Christ. Listening was his key spot. Jesus didn't do anything that the Father wasn't doing. Jesus didn't say anything that the Father wasn't already saying. And everything that Jesus did was good and life-giving and beautiful and wonderful, even when it was rebuking the Pharisees, even when it was turning the tables over in the temple, even when it was taking a child onto his knee and, you know, ministering to him, or when it was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus never did anything that his Father wasn't doing. He didn't say anything his Father wasn't saying. Listening was the key to Christ's ministry on earth. Connection to God was the key. What do you see all the time? The theme for Jesus' ministry, it seems like, is, yeah, I'm glad to heal, I'm glad to serve, I'm glad to teach, but when can I get back to the mountain to be with God? You see Jesus continually retreating, continually pulling back to go away to a spot where it's him and his Father, and it's that connection that then fuels who he is in his actual ministry. Living in that way and understanding that kind of a rhythm is this relational, presence-based concept of listening, where we are constantly in the Father's presence. He is constantly with us. The Father is always working, Jesus says. The Father is always working. And now I do what it is that I already see him doing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. If you think about it, again, in the Hebraic mindset, in the Old Testament, and particularly like in Genesis chapter 1, how did the day flow? What was first, the morning or the evening? Nope. I mean, just...
It started
after sunset. Right. Yeah, if you read Genesis 1, every day says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. When does the Sabbath start? Friday night. That's right. Saturday starts on Friday night, sundown, six-ish. And as the Sabbath ends at sundown the next day. Right? The Jewish day goes evening to morning. The American day goes morning to morning. Right? And yeah, we get up, we work in order to rest. They rest in order to work. Right? God rests in order to work. Think about this. God, the scriptures say that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, right? Like it says that God is not like us. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, the Jewish people weren't working during the night. The night for a Jewish person was the time that you sleep. But who was not sleeping during the night?